In this episode, I'm speaking to Jode Campbell-Gillies, an accountant at Quintella Accounting, a firm that supports businesses and individuals with their financial affairs. So Jode, what does your job involve?
So our job is basically mainly to offer support to businesses and individuals. That could be with the various taxation requirements that they need. It could also just be with compliance issues with regards to their accounts as well. Obviously, there are different there's different responsibilities in terms of what they need to do. So it's just offering them their businesses some support, and obviously giving them reassurance that actually what they're doing is correct, and just maybe double checking what they might be doing. So yeah, but just basically hand holding them.
And what kind of people are your clients? Are they all people that are setting up a new business?
So we have some new businesses, so startups. We do have businesses that have been going on, trading on for a number of years as well. We also, some of our other clients will just be individuals, so like high net worth individuals. It could also just be those who are just simple sole trader who just need a set of accounts or just their tax return sorted out, or it's just that someone just needs some capital gains advice. So it's just, yeah, so it ranges. It ranges between different ones, but mainly it's we do with a lot of businesses and like self-employed people.
And are you exclusively based in Reading?
No. So with the advantage of technology, although we are based within the Berkshire area, the Reading area, with technology, we can service our clients remotely around the UK. And we do have some clients as far as Exeter and some as far as Manchester as well. So I mean, a core of our clients are from the area, but it doesn't mean to say that we won't consult with anybody outside of that.
And have you always done that, or do you think that's COVID's had more of a thing with that, with working remotely?
We've always done that. So as a firm, we've kind of taken that view because obviously clients' needs are very different in terms of what they expect from you as well. So just because a client could be, Manchester Way or something, they might not find an accountant that's a good fit for them. So we, just come back to your question, yes. So in terms of COVID, because obviously there was people getting more comfortable with using more technology, more services that will allow them to deal with things remotely. So I think it made people more comfortable with having to see people in an office environment. So video conferencing, people more happy to kind of sit on the video and have a meeting and things like that. So yes.
Great. And how can you help clients who want to set up their own business?
So in terms of helping clients set up their own businesses, we can kind of go through what is required from them in terms of getting the business set up. So it could just be like how they wish to trade. So it could be that they want to set up as a sole trader or as a limited company. There's different compliance issues with regards to that. So it's just kind of talking them through their responsibilities with each. And then once they've made a selection or have they chosen what's the best kind of financial vehicle for them, so to speak, then we then help them in terms of filling out the forms. Sometimes it's a case that they would prefer to do it themselves, so we can just give them guidance on what to fill out, things like that. Other times they're happy for us as a firm to basically run with everything, fill out all the forms. So we'll fill out all the forms, file it with the different regulatory bodies as well, and get them registered. And obviously once it's all been registered and acknowledged, we then obviously let them know that the business is all set up and it's ready for them to kind of run with as well. But we offer support from the very the first initial kind of step up until they want us to stop
Oh wow, so it sounds like you offer quite a lot.
Yeah, it can be quite challenging at times because I think sometimes like communication can also be quite key, because sometimes what someone wants and they may not fully understand what is involved. So you try and advise them on with everything in mind. Sometimes there can be a bit of information overload. We even ourselves have to take a kind of a step back and go like, right, actually, what is the client asking for? And let's kind of reevaluate the questions that we are asking so we can give them the best support without having to overload them with so much that they almost shy away and kind of don't want to go down that business venture, things like that. So yeah, but yeah, we do offer a bit. So yeah.
And And what's that like, seeing it pay off, you know, working with a company and then them taking your financial advice? And have you seen companies do quite well?
It's a good question, that. So, I mean, a lot of our, so in terms of the service that we do offer, so sometimes a lot of what we do offer is very compliance kind of based. So it's kind of like, because there's a responsibility to deal with it, they kind of have to deal with it. But in terms of advice, sometimes it's almost like the unsung heroes kind of thing. It's like something will go well, but they won't necessarily stop and say like, oh, actually, you know what, you did actually did save us this year and that. But obviously it's like where you've advised on something and actually they've saved some money in tax, then obviously it is nice to kind of get like an acknowledgement from them to say like, you know, actually, we saved X amount of money because of the advice that we followed from you. Had we done what we initially kind of were going to do without consulting you, you know, it wouldn't have worked out as well for us and things like that. But sometimes we don't always kind of know like how they feel about it, because I think sometimes they almost kind of feel it's kind of part of the service. So it's like that we should be doing it. So they, sometimes we do get acknowledgement from clients to say that they're happy with it and things like that. It's a very difficult one, because I always kind of liken it to someone who gets a brand new bathroom put in. It's like, because you can look back and you can show it off to everybody and go like, wow, this is amazing. It's like, you've done such a great job. I can really see what you've done. But when you kind of say to someone, oh yeah, we've saved you some tax and it's something on a bit of paper, it doesn't have the same kind of like satisfaction as if you're kind of looking at something tangible where you can actually see like, wow, this is really good. So yeah, it's funny. It's a weird one. So, yeah.
There you go. Accountants, the unsung heroes of the business world. So here's where I get to learn. Can you please explain to me the main differences between self-employment and setting up a limited company and any other kinds of business people can set up?
So obviously you can set up, as you mentioned, like self-employed, and then you can have your limited companies. And then you can also set up a partnership, which is two self-employed people basically joining together as a partnership. There are other ones, which is called an LLP, which is limited liability partnership. And it follows its structure. It's a very simple structure, but it just follows different. It follows the tax laws as if it was an income, like a self-employed person. But in terms of managing the company, kind of follows a limited company. And but like the key differences between, like, if we just kind of break it down to your self-employed people, your limited company. So as a self-employed person, effectively you are the business. In the eyes of the law, you and the business are one and the same. You are therefore personally liable for all the profits. You are liable for any debts that the company has, and then you're liable for the tax on all the profits as well. That just means, obviously, if anything goes wrong, because there's like an unlimited liability, effectively they will come off. If there are any debts or anything, and they need to come collect it, they'll come after you and things like that. A limited company, obviously, it's limited to your liability is limited to that, and the company, when it's set up, in the eyes of the law, under company's law, it's seen as its own entity, its own kind of individual, so to speak. And obviously, through the shareholders and directors, they basically manage and look after the business, and that's how ownership is. Obviously, there are different tax rates for companies, for self-employed people, as well as limited companies as well. And it just, when it comes to choosing which one to kind of use, it kind of boils down to like how comfortable you are with, because each one has different compliance issues as well. A limited company, there's a lot more compliance that needs to be dealt with as well, like with filing of paperwork and things like that. Whereas a self-employed person, effectively, it's just you file one tax return once a year with HMRC. Whereas a limited company, you've got to file a set of accounts. There's what they call a confirmation statement, and you've got to file your corporation tax return. And then depending on other little things that you may do within the company, there may be additional form filling in as well and things like that. But there are some things where like VAT, it doesn't matter what you are. If you're over the VAT threshold, then, you know, whether you're a limited company or a sole trader, you will have to register for VAT and things like that. So it just depends on like how comfortable the person is. There is also which I've heard before, people like to be a limited company over a sole trader just because there's almost like a psychological thought that actually it makes them appear much bigger than like I say a self-employed person. So therefore, as a result, people they will win more work and bigger contracts because people think, well, they're a limited company, so therefore they must be a much bigger outfit than they kind of are, and so therefore they kind of the thought is that they'll kind of win bigger contracts, things like that. So I know people, some clients, they do prefer to trade as a limited company because of that reason and things like that. Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. So there's not much in it to become a limited company, but it can give people that sort of feeling more professional.
There is that. There's not much in it. There are some differences, but it's some people just so you'll get like some small businesses that will trade as a limited company when they're not really trading over as much money, like turnover, things like that, but just because it can look good for them. So yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. So having is it a partnership or just a partner? Are there financial benefits to that, to sort of sharing the?
So if you trading as a partnership, so obviously there'll be like two self-employed people kind of coming together as a partnership. The benefit is that is basically shared resources, shared like wisdom as well, experiences. Obviously what will happen is the partnership will run as a partnership, and then whatever the profit share ratio is, that'll then be assessed on each individual partner's personal tax returns. But ultimately, as a partnership, then there is obviously the shared resources, like the shared experiences as well, and things like that, and that as well. Because obviously, which is beneficial, because obviously, if you're always trading on your own, then you're always relying on yourself. Whereas obviously, if you've got someone to kind of fall back on it, or you know, then yes.
And can you talk me through the accounting obligations and the paperwork requirements for setting up a business?
So setting up a business is it's actually a very simple process. So it's all done through Companies House. They have their own kind of web form and that you can do, and it's in the terms of the cost as well, I think from when I last checked, it's £13 basically register a limited company, and they have the form on there. So you have to also set up an account with Companies House, because then obviously you can then manage the company through that, and then it's just basically getting all the information that you need, so the name of the director, shareholders, how many shares, and name of the company as well, a registered address, and then you basically pay the fee, and then you send it off to Companies House, and then I think it takes within that day or the very next day you'll get an acknowledgement to say that it's been processed and the company is then therefore registered on the Companies House register. So yeah.
Wow, much cheaper and much quicker than much I thought.
So obviously we ourselves, when we register companies, we do use a registration, a company that deals in company registrations as well. But it's the same. It's, you know, it takes like within the next day the company sets up. So it's the advantage of, because obviously with technology now, you don't have to like get forms and manually fill them out and then send them off in the post. It's all kind of form filling online on a screen. And then you know, as long you put all, make sure the details are correct and pay the fee and things like that, and you submit it. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So out of curiosity, do you ever get people who contact you before they set up the business saying in advance, I'm setting up a business, can I get help from Quintella?
Yeah, we do. We do get people setting up. So people normally, they have like an idea of what they would like to do. So they kind of speak to us in terms of what they would like how they would like to achieve the idea and how we can help with that as well. Some people also they have an idea for a future time, but they have a specific kind of company name, because the thing with if you register a company as well, once you've taken that name, you nobody else can use that name. So people might use a variation of it, but they have a specific name that they want to use that they know is available. So what they will normally do is they'll get the company registered on Companies House, and therefore when they come to realize like their idea in terms of making a profit from it, they at least they know that the name is set and they can then kind of run with it. So we do get people that do before they speak to us, before they even set up a company, they'll speak to us about it, and then we'll set up a company for them, or we'll give them this advice, and they may think, well, actually, maybe this is not right for us at this moment in time, and things like that. So yes, so right even before we get asked.
And what are the reasons why it might not be right at the time? Why does sort of the time come into it? Is that just a personal thing, or
it could be a personal thing or cost as well? Because like I say, when a company set up, there are compliance issues you need to deal with as well. So I mean, it's not, yeah. So sometimes it's that people just, they may feel it's maybe not be for them. So yeah,
totally. And what would you say are the best things? What are the real benefits for setting up your own business?
So the good benefits of setting up your own business is, because obviously sometimes I always think, if you have like an idea or you have a way of doing something, but if you're working for someone else, sometimes it's very hard for your ideas to be realized. And so you might see that actually there may be a gap in the market somewhere, and which you kind of want to take advantage of. And so that's where you set up your business and things like that. I mean, setting up business, there are, at the early stages, there's not much reward. There's a lot of risk as well. And it's because obviously it takes time for, like, obviously your brand awareness to kind of, people to like notice you, and you build up your customer base as well, and before you actually quite see a lot of the rewards that come from it. And so, yeah, so I mean, the benefit of it is, you know, once everything is running, it's more free time. Because obviously if you kind of working for yourself and running your own business, and you can kind of, if you are, well, it depends on how much involvement you kind of want to put into it and how much time you want to dedicate. But obviously you can potentially free up some of your time once your business is up and running and things like that. Just and also the flexibility that if you do need to make time for something, you can kind of like for myself, because obviously we as a firm we are we don't have offices, so we base at home and things like that. So, you know, if I need to quickly do something, like say for example the school run, I can just nip away and just quickly do that. Whereas long before the business was set up, when I was employed, it would have been much harder to kind of take that time away and things like that. But yes, I think the flexibility and things like that. But there is a lot of hard work that it does get put in as well.
And do you think the concept of being your own boss can be a bit over glamorized today? I feel like on social media you see a lot of people who have started their own business as self-employed and sort of go, it's easy, just you can be your own boss and life is so amazing now. Do you think it gets a bit over glamorized? Do you think the problems are sort of overlooked, or the struggles?
Definitely. There is, I mean, there are people that can make a success of their business very early on, and they can get the rewards very quickly. And, you know, sometimes people have these great ideas and they have a really good business mindset that they can. And as a result, they're able to like say if they can get their kind of their brand or their product or whatever, their services out there very quickly, and maybe employ the right people as well that can take a lot of the work off them as well, which then frees them up. But the problem is that is a rarity. Most of the time, businesses, there is a lot of work that does get put in, because, you know, it's like you might have a really good idea of a service, but the problem is sometimes people don't really know that they want that product or the service. It could be that for a year or two, you could be trying to push for something for it to eventually take off. And so I think sometimes, especially with social media and things like that, I think the problem is it's always kind of like expectation reality is like what you see is you kind of think, oh wow, that looks amazing, like what their life must be so good, like they seem so successful, but the reality is it's probably not like that. But you know, and I think this is the problem that comes down to the problem with social media is people think that it'll work out very well for them very quickly, but the reality is there's a lot of work that's kind of gone into it, and there's also a lot of kind of like almost like a veneer that you want people to think you are more successful as well and things like that. But so it can be over glamorized. So yeah, and I think sometimes people also forget that some businesses, when you start, sometimes you may not have the capital to begin with to do all these these great things. Like you might think, well, I need a fancy website or to sell the product or like fancy marketing, but you may not have the capital. But there are people that they may have the capital because they through other ways. So some people's successes, some people when they start their business journey, some people they can go a lot further, a lot quicker than say other people as well. So I think sometimes balance when you see especially social media, I think a little bit of balance is needed to kind of see like, you know,
bit of reality.
Yeah.
And what would your best piece of advice be to someone who started their own business and was a bit, you know, a bit taken aback, a bit overwhelmed by all of this sort of accounting they need to know about and tax things they need to know about?
Yeah, I would say for someone who's a bit overwhelmed with it, I'd say speak to someone who does have knowledge of, not necessarily like what you are trying to do, but say someone who has like financial knowledge that can help you with getting yourself sorted in terms of the right taxes, being compliant with accounts, things like that. Just someone who can support the business and help maybe with business analysis or forecasts and things like that to help you. Definitely find support from like an accountant or someone who does have financial experience and things like that, who can, you know. And also I think be prepared for failure as well, but don't take failure as like, well, I failed, therefore like I'm not good at it. I always think that, because people always hear the saying like there's always, it's like either like a win-loss situation. I always think it's never a win-loss situation. It's like either win or you learn from experience. So take any setbacks, like, you know, pick yourself up from any setbacks and just kind of like analyze what you did, and then try and do something a bit different and things like that. Because being in business, it's every day is you're constantly learning, because not your clients or your customers, they're not always the same. They have some of them have very unique needs, and you know it's like a like when you take your car in for a service and things like that. Most of the time, it's a standard service, but something, you know, with road conditions, things like that, it has a lot of wear on the vehicle. So something might come in where it's like, oh, actually, we need to treat with this a little bit differently and things like that. So it's same with clients. They all have different needs. And sometimes it may be the same routine over and over again. But, you know, it's things people do. Yeah. So just be willing to accept a lot of like setbacks but use that as a learning experience. And at the end of the day, it's enjoy the journey as well while you're at it. So yeah.
Well, I guess when you look at successful businesses, I don't know how you feel about this, but they've probably achieved so much because they failed at much more things than you have.
Massively. No success is born from like a first attempt kind of thing. Success is born from failure, and it's through those failures that people have become successful. It's like like the Dyson Hoovers and things like that. It wasn't one day that he invented this new concept of Hoovers and then, you know, that was it. Like, there was a lot of failure, there was a lot of struggle and things like that, but as a result, by sticking at it, for me, it's a massive company and things like that. So yeah.
And when people get in touch with Quintella, they can have a consultation. What's sort of involved in that initial consultation?
For those who want an initial consultation, it's basically just sitting down and getting to know who they are and things like that, kind of understanding what it is that they would like to achieve. And because obviously we're trying to find what works best for them and things like that. So it's just getting to know who they are, what they want, what they're trying to achieve, you know, long-term where they would like to be as well and things like that. So yeah.
Nothing too daunting then.
Nothing too daunting. Yeah. So, well, hopefully not anyway. So yeah.
Do they have to prepare anything? Or?
Most of the times, no. The thing is, most of the people that do come to us for consultation, they kind of have an idea as well. So that helps a lot. It gets difficult where someone goes, I want to start a business. And you kind of think, okay, do you have an idea of what it is you're wanting to do or achieve and things like that? And then they don't quite know themselves, but most people they really have an idea anyway, so they've really come prepared in that sense. So it's much easier to obviously help them and to be able to ask the right questions, because sometimes it's a case of like you can ask the questions, but if they don't know what they quite want, and if you, it's quite difficult to ask that question to kind of draw, but sometimes it's just, yeah, it's just trying to draw them out as well. It can sometimes be difficult.
Totally. And so if someone's listening and they've thought, wow, I feel like I need to get in touch, I want a consultation, you know, I feel like I need some support, how can people get in touch with you? How can people find you?
So we, so they can contact us by telephone. Our number is 0118-469-3025, or they can go through by email, which is, so they can use either hello@quintilla.com, or they can use mine, which is just jode@quintilla.com, which is J-O-E-D. So they can contact us that way. That's probably the best way they can do that. Or through the website as well, we have a contact page that they can get hold of us on that. So yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time, Jode.
I know. You're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
And if you would like to find out more, you can visit quintilla.com, where you can find their email form.